Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another study in the book of Revelation. We are now on chapter 7, and in this study, I will cover verses 1 through 9. I'll first read those verses, then we'll go into an introduction, and then we'll take each verse one by one and end with a summary and conclusion. So let's begin reading the verses. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. In our last study, John saw the sixth aspect to God's salvation plan, which was a picture of everyone hiding in and trusting their false gods and religions when Judgment Day came on May 21, 2011. But now, in Revelation 7, verses 1 through 9, John sees a picture of four angels who are holding back the four winds of God's judgment from coming upon the peoples of the earth until all of God's people have been sealed and eternally saved. And since we know that God's judgment came upon the world on May 21, 2011, according to the biblical timeline that you can click on to see, we are looking at the time before this date, from the creation of man until Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, when God sealed and saved all of His elect. These elect, as we shall see, are represented by the 12 tribes of Israel listed in Revelation 7, or by the number 144,000. But then we are told that a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Is this great multitude that no man could number the same group of people represented by the number 144,000? Or are they some other group of people? Stay tuned as we examine verses 1 through 9 of Revelation chapter 7. Now may our God, who sealed and saved all of His elect by May 21, 2011, enlighten our minds to these things. Amen. Let's take a look at our first verse in a little more detail. It reads once again, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. In this verse, after the Apostle John had seen the opening of the sixth seal of God's salvation plan, wherein, as I said, all the peoples of the world hid and trusted in their false gods and religions when Judgment Day came on May 21, 2011, he, in a new vision, now saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Immediately, we notice how the number four is being emphasized. And because the number four in the Bible symbolizes universality or worldwideness, and you can click on the Bible number four to see this, the four angels symbolize worldwide angels. The four corners of the earth symbolize worldwide corners of the earth, or the whole earth. And the four winds symbolize worldwide winds. Thus, when we read that John saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, we are being told that John saw worldwide angels standing all over the earth, holding the worldwide winds of the earth. And since winds are commonly identified with judgment in the Bible, these angels were holding back God's worldwide judgment from coming upon the earth. What we are seeing in this vision, then, are points in time before God's worldwide judgment came upon the earth, which would therefore be before May 21, 2011. Thus, whereas at the end of Revelation 6, we saw a picture of Judgment Day itself on May 21, 2011. In Revelation 7, we see a picture of all God's elect being sealed and saved at various times before May 21, 2011. And so we immediately recognize that the book of Revelation is not written in a chronological order. But in fact, we will find that it is written in a kind of progressive parallelism where certain things are covered, which are then later covered again in another chapter from a different angle or in more detail as we progress a little further each time through time with every few chapters until we reach the end and consummation of all things and images of heaven. But now we ask the question, why were these worldwide angels who were standing throughout the earth holding back the worldwide winds of judgment? Our verse answers that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. That is, so that worldwide judgment should not come on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And of course, when we are told that these worldwide angels were holding back worldwide judgment from coming upon the earth represents the peoples of the earth. Namely, that worldwide judgment should not come on the peoples of the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Actually, the earth, the sea, and any tree, literally translated every tree, all represent the same thing, namely the peoples of the world. For instance, with respect to the sea, we read in Isaiah 57, verse 20, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Thus, the wicked people are compared to the sea, so that we can see that the sea symbolizes peoples. And we read in Psalm 98, verse 7, "Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." In this case, insofar as the world represents the peoples of the world, once again we see that the sea symbolizes peoples. Then, with respect to the term every tree, we see that a tree can symbolize a person or peoples in many Bible verses, which I will list just a few. For instance, in Psalm 37, we find that the bay tree symbolizes wicked people. We read in Psalm 37, verse 35, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. And in Ezekiel 15, we find that the vine tree represents the peoples of Jerusalem. We read in Ezekiel 15, verse 6, Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, As the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And as one more example of the many which could be given, we find once again in Isaiah 7 that the trees can represent people. There we read in Isaiah 7, verse 2, And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of the people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Now, having learned that the earth and sea and every tree can symbolize peoples, when our verse says that John saw worldwide angels standing throughout the world and holding back the four winds of the earth, that is, holding back worldwide judgment, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, it is telling us that these angels were holding back worldwide judgment so that this judgment should not come on the peoples of the earth. The earth and the sea and every tree all represent the same thing, namely the peoples of the earth. And they are symbolized by three different things, namely the earth, the sea, and every tree, to emphasize that it is the purpose of God that worldwide judgment be held back, for the number three symbolizes that it is the purpose of God. And you can click on the Bible number three to see this. Okay, let's move on to verse 2 of Revelation chapter 7. Verse 2, it reads, And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Here John continues in his vision, and he first says, And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Literally it reads, And I saw another angel, or the word angel could be translated as messenger, ascending from the rising sun. That is, this messenger ascends from the east. That this messenger ascends from the east identifies him as being Christ. For it is Christ who in the Bible just is described as coming from the east, as we read in Isaiah 41, verse 2, who raised up the righteous man, that is Christ, from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. And again we read in Ezekiel 43, verse 2, And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Now we are told that this angel, that is Christ, ascending from the east, has the seal of the living God. And we learn that this seal of God, we learn what it is in Ephesians chapter 1, where we read in verse 13 through 14, In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. In other words, the seal of the living God that Christ possesses is the Holy Spirit of promise that we receive once we have been saved. And since we receive the Holy Spirit of promise upon being saved, we could say that the seal of the living God is salvation. Thus, Christ, who ascends from the east, has the seal of salvation to give to all of whom He saves. But now we read, "And He," that is Christ, "cried with a loud voice to the four angels." That is, He cried with a loud voice to the worldwide angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And since we already found that the earth and the sea both represent the peoples of the world, we are being told that Christ cried with a loud voice to the worldwide angels to whom it was given to hurt the peoples of the earth. And the way the worldwide angels would hurt the peoples of the world would be to not hold back the worldwide winds of God's judgment any longer. But let's move on to verse 3 of Revelation chapter 7. Verse 3. There it reads, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." In this verse, we hear what the loud voice of Christ says to the worldwide angels to whom it was given to hurt the peoples of the world with the worldwide winds of judgment. He is saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And since we've learned that the earth, the sea, and the trees all represent the peoples of the world, Christ is saying, "Hurt not the peoples of the world till we," that is the angels and Christ, "have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." The seal, of course, by which the servants of our God, the elect, were to be sealed was the Holy Spirit of promise, which all of God's servants, the elect, were sealed with when they were eternally saved in Christ Jesus. Now, we know that the sealing of God's servants, namely the sealing of the elect, had to have taken place before worldwide judgment came on May 21, 2011, as we are told that worldwide judgment could not come until the servants of God, namely all the elect, had been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Thus, we know that all those who were to be sealed or saved were all those who were sealed or saved before the winds of worldwide judgment came on May 21, 2011. We should expect then that in this context, the 144,000 who were sealed, that our next verse describes, refers to all those who were sealed or saved by May 21, 2011, which would be all those saved during the old dispensation, plus all those saved during the new dispensation, up to the judgment day on May 21, 2011, when any further possibility of eternal salvation came to an end. But now, before leaving this verse, we ask the question, why are the servants of God described as being sealed in their foreheads? Well, in the Bible, the forehead of a person represents who or what that person is. Thus, for the servants of God, that is the elect, to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in their foreheads represents them as being the eternally saved people of God. On the other hand, to have received the mark of the beast in their foreheads would mean that they are the people of Satan. And we will see this more clearly as we progress further into the book of Revelation. Now let's move on to verse 4 of Revelation 7. It reads, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Here we discover the number of the elect who were sealed, that is, saved by the Holy Spirit during the Old Testament times, as well as the New Testament times up to Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. The total number, we are told, is 144,000, which breaks down to the spiritually significant numbers of 12 times 12 times 1,000. The first 12 symbolizes the fullness of the Old Testament elect, and the second 12 symbolizes the fullness of the New Testament elect, and the number 1,000 symbolizes the completeness of whatever is in view. And you can click on the Bible numbers 12 and 1,000 to see this. Thus, the number 144,000 symbolizes the complete fullness of the Old, symbolized by the number 12, and New Testament elect, symbolized by the other 12. And it's the complete fullness of the Old and New Testament elect, because the 1,000 symbolizes completeness, complete fullness of the Old and New Testament elect. It is not a number to be taken literally, but it is a number that symbolizes the complete fullness of all the elect, however many that may actually be, that were saved by Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, when the winds of worldwide judgment came on the peoples of the earth. Now, notice that the 144,000 are of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Yet, if the 144,000 are describing all the tribes of the children of Israel, as we are told, then we must ask the question, then why are two of the tribes missing? Both Dan and Ephraim are missing in the 12 tribes that are listed in the four verses which follow. Furthermore, there were actually 13 tribes and not 12, because Joseph was given a double portion so that his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, each headed their own tribes. And so, given this information, the 144,000 that are said to be of all the tribes of Israel cannot be referring to national Israel, as is falsely taught in most of the churches of our day. Otherwise, the tribes Dan and Ephraim would not be excluded. And there should be 13 tribes listed, not just 12. So, who do the 144,000 who are of all the tribes of Israel refer to? Why, we already showed in context that they refer to the complete fullness of all the elect. The spiritual Israel of God, as mentioned in Galatians 6, verse 16, whether Jew or Gentile, who were sealed and saved at various times from the creation of humankind to Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, before the worldwide winds of God's judgment came upon the peoples of the world. We have further support that all the 12 tribes of the children of Israel listed here in Revelation 7 refer to spiritual Israel in James chapter 1, where James addresses the spiritual Israel, that is the elect, the body of Christ, the eternal church, as the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. It reads, James 1, verse 1, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." Thus, the 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel, namely the 12 tribes listed in Revelation 7, refer to the spiritual Israel of God, whether of the Old or New Testament periods, both Jew and Gentile, and not national Israel, despite what many falsely teach to the contrary. Okay, let's move on to verses 5 through 8. And since they're basically saying the same thing of each of the 12 tribes that are listed, I'm going to read all those together, verses 5 through 8. They read, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000, or actually I already said Aser, I should say, of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000, and it says this of all the rest of the tribes as well, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. In these verses, we're told that each of the tribes of Judah, Reuben, Gad, Aser, Nephilim, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And since the number 12,000 can be broken into the spiritually significant numbers of 12 times 1,000, and the number 12 symbolizes the fullness of whatever is in view, while the number 1,000 symbolizes the completeness of whatever is in view. And again, you can click on Bible numbers 12 and 1,000 to see this. We are being taught that of each of these 12 tribes, which 12 tribes symbolize spiritual Israel, were sealed, or we could say were saved, the complete fullness of the elect. Thus, we see that here in Revelation 7, each literal tribe of Israel is a picture or type of the church from which came the complete fullness of those who are saved in Jesus Christ, namely the elect, the eternal church, the body of Christ. There were not just 12,000 saved from each of the 12 tribes to be a total of 144,000 who were saved, but the complete fullness of all the elect were sealed or saved, however many that may actually be, which was likely somewhere in the tens of millions upon tens of millions by Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. Yes, we are taught in Scripture that only a remnant would ever become saved. For instance, we read in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, "Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go on thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Few. But a remnant or few of the approximate 6 to 7 billion people that were on the earth in 2011, not to even mention all those who were saved in ages past, is still a great number of people. Certainly a lot more than just 144,000. Yes, the numbers 12,000 and 144,000 are not to be taken literally, but symbolically of the complete fullness of the elect, no matter how many that may actually be. We are told in Revelation 9, when we get to this, the elect are spoken of as an army of 200 million. I don't know if that is to be taken literally or symbolically. I know it is symbolic, but it's not exactly clear if that's to be taken literally. So I don't think anyone can say exactly how many God has eternally saved. Now we must ask the question, why are the tribes of Dan and Ephraim not mentioned as being of the 12 tribes of Israel in Revelation chapter 7? We already mentioned one reason, namely that they are not listed to help make it clear that these 12 tribes do not refer to national Israel, but to spiritual Israel. Yet there is another reason as well. Both the tribes of Dan and Ephraim were known for their spiritual fornication, because Jeroboam, a wicked king of Israel who came into power over the northern tribes after the death of Solomon in 931 BC, set up golden calves for Israel to worship in Dan and in Bethel, which was in Ephraim. We read about this in 1 Kings 12, and I'll read verses 26 through 33. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel, and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Thus, the reason why Dan and Ephraim, where Bethel was, are not mentioned as part of the 12 tribes of Israel in Revelation 7 could be because both these two tribes came to be identified for their idol worship, so that God did not want them to be used in Revelation 7 to be representative of the elect, spiritual Israel, who are not idol worshippers, but true worshippers of the one and only true God. Furthermore, Jacob prophesied on his deathbed about how Dan would be in the last days in Genesis 49, where we read in verse 17, "Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that bites the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward." Notice how Dan shall be a serpent by the way. A serpent in the Bible is representative of Satan. Thus, we are being told that Dan would be a Satan in the last days. Certainly, God would not want the tribe of Dan to be representative of spiritual Israel, the elect. Therefore, he probably excluded Dan as being one of the 12 tribes of Israel in Revelation 7, because these 12 tribes, as we have learned, are meant to represent spiritual Israel, the elect. Nevertheless, that Dan was one of the tribes of Israel reminds us that right in the midst of God's people, there are always those who are influenced by Satan, who is trying to subvert the truth. As Christ once declared to his 12 apostles in John 6, verse 70, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." Even so, just as there were 12 apostles, and one of them, Judas, was a devil, so also were there 12 tribes of Israel, and one of them, Dan, was a devil. But when it comes to spiritual Israel, the elect, the body of Christ, the eternal church, they are all saved in Jesus Christ, and so none of them could be a devil. And again, this is likely the reason why Dan is excluded from being representative of spiritual Israel, the elect. For none of them could possibly be a devil because they, by definition, are all saved in Jesus Christ and thus holy. Well, let's move on to our last verse, which is verse 9 that we'll go over in this study. And we'll probably come back in the next study to begin with this verse as well. It reads, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Here, after John saw a vision of the complete fullness of spiritual Israel, namely the elect, he says, "I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number." This is quite strange. John had just heard the number of them that were sealed, that is saved, to be 12,000 from each of the listed 12 tribes for a total number of 144,000, which we learned was a symbolic number for the complete fullness of the spiritual Israel or the elect, no matter how many they may actually be. But now John sees a great multitude which could not be numbered. So naturally the question arises, is this great multitude which could not be numbered one and the same as the 144,000? Or are they two different groups of people? Remember, the 144,000 were all those who were sealed, that is saved, before the wind of God's judgment came upon the world on May 21, 2011. Therefore, the 144,000 refers to all who were saved by May 21, 2011. So now the question becomes, is this 144,000 who were saved by May 21, 2011 one and the same as the great multitude which no man could number? The answer to this question comes in verses 13 through 14 of Revelation 7, where we read, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? That is, who is this great multitude which no man could number? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Thus we see that the great multitude which no man could number are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are not all of the 144,000 who were saved by May 21, 2011, but they are a great multitude of the 144,000 which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And since we know that the great tribulation from which this great multitude came out from refers to the great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, according to the biblical timeline that you can click on to see, we know that this great multitude that no man could number refers just to the elect who came out of this great tribulation through eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Thus, the great multitude that no man could number are that part of the 144,000, that is spiritual Israel, the eternal church, who were sealed and saved sometime during the great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. So in answer to our question, are the 144,000 and the great multitude that no man could number of the same group of people? The answer is yes. The great multitude are that part of the 144,000 who were sealed and saved sometime during the great tribulation in the last number of years before Judgment Day came on May 21, 2011. But now, why is this great multitude said to be a multitude which no man could number? Obviously, this infers that this great multitude which came out from the Great Tribulation was a lot of people. But couldn't a man eventually count a great multitude if given enough time? I would think so. So why is this said to be a great multitude which no man could number? I believe the answer to this can be realized in that this great multitude would have been saved outside of all the churches, because we know that salvation ended in all the churches when the Great Tribulation began on May 21, 1988. And so, in that this great multitude were saved during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, means that they were not saved in a church, because salvation was no longer possible in the churches during that time. Indeed, we now know that this great multitude were saved during what we have come to know in the biblical timeline as the latter rain, from September 7 of 1994 to May 21 of 2011. And they were all saved outside of the churches as the gospel went forth outside the churches through organizations such as Family Radio. And in that they were all saved outside the environment of a church where they could no longer be counted, they are said to be a great multitude which no one could count. In other words, a great multitude could be counted if they had been saved in all the various churches, as churches regularly counted its membership. But as this great multitude was saved outside of all the churches, there was no such environment as a church to be able to count them, for they were scattered all over the earth, and they were not in all the churches where they could be counted. Thus, this great multitude are called a great multitude which no man could number. Now, our verse continues by saying that this great multitude which no man could number were of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. More literally, it reads that they were of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, or we could say languages. Notice how this great multitude consists of four categories: nations, tribes, people, and tongues. The number four symbolizes universality or worldwideness, and you can click on the Bible number four to see this. Thus, we are being taught that this great multitude consists of people worldwide. They come from all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, universally, or from all over the world. Next, we read that this great multitude from all over the world stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Because the verb stood is in the perfect tense of the Greek, that they stood before the throne in Christ means that in the past they stood before the throne and Christ, with the result that they now continue to stand before the throne and Christ. And in that they stood, with the result that they now stand before the throne in Christ, means that they must be eternally saved. Otherwise, they could not stand in the sight of God and live, but they would be consumed in their sins. For no man in his sins can stand in the sight of or before God and live. We further know that this great multitude who stand before the throne in Christ were eternally saved, because we read that they were clothed with white robes. As we learned back in Revelation 6:11, that you can click on to go see, that they were clothed in white robes means that they were covered with the holiness or righteousness of Christ. That is, Christ paid the price for all their sins on the cross, and he has accounted his holiness or righteousness to them in salvation. They are clothed with the holiness or righteousness of Christ. They are covered with the robe of his righteousness. Finally, we read that this great multitude were not only clothed with white robes, that is, they were saved, but they had palms in their hands. What does it mean that they had palms in their hands? We obtain a clue in Psalm 92, where we read in verses 12 through 14, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." You see, the palm tree in the hands of the eternally saved represents how blessed they really are. "They shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall have abundance and be full. They shall always bring forth fruit. They are indeed most blessed." Well, in conclusion to our study, in Revelation 7, 1 through 9, we learned how worldwide angels kept God's judgment from coming upon the peoples of the earth until God had sealed and saved his elect from the time of the creation of man until Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. All the elect who were sealed and saved during that time, we learned, are symbolized by the 12 tribes of Israel listed in Revelation chapter 7, or the number 144,000. These are spiritual Israel, the eternal church, the body of Christ. Then after this, John saw a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and people and tongues, who stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. This great multitude that no man could number, we learned, was the great multitude of people saved out of the great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. Thus, we found that this great multitude that no man could number is of the same group of saved people symbolized by the 144,000, namely spiritual Israel, the body of Christ, the eternal church. Although the one group of people refers to all who were saved from the creation of man to Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, while the other group of people refers only to those of the 144,000 that were saved out of the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. Now with that, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be most gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee great peace.